introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it
this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we are a man down. QB1, unfortunately, could not join us this evening, but we're still going to press on. We're going to go forward, and we're going to get this podcast out to you here. So, you know, we got no QB1, but we're still going to go in the same order. And, you know, wide receiver one, Miles, what's going on, my man? How you doing? I think you're on the clock right now, actually. So, you know, after you're done telling the people how you're doing, if you could make that pick, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm going to take as long as I need to. I'm going to do all this research on all these players so then I can make sure I know who's in the best spot. I'm doing good, man. We're just really busy. We're getting ready to move, so lots of stuff going on.
Cool. As always, I feel like you're always the busiest person on this podcast, whether you're saving animals or really it's just saving animals and dealing with Teddy, I guess. So, yeah, right. Just add one more thing to the list for you, I guess.
Yep.
And Saxy Prince, have you been able to relax a little bit here? Now that, you know, the draft is comfortably in the rearview mirror, you had your premiere. Has this been a little bit of a downtime for you? You chilling or, you know, you picked up an extra 3 jobs to keep yourself occupied?
No, the grind doesn't stop. Well, you know, obviously those things in the rearview mirror, it's nice to have those out of the way because it, you know, basically it's like all the lead up that kind of becomes exhausting, and once it happens it's like, okay, this is over. But then like I try not to allow myself to get too comfortable with being done with something that was, you know, like something pretty big. So have a couple auditions in the next day and stuff that I have planned throughout the week, but yeah, I'm just going to continue to grind.
And have we figured out where those of us who don't live in Minneapolis will be able to check out this movie that you just did yet?
Yeah. So I've had to tell a lot of people because there have been quite a few people who are like, I want to see it. I talked to the director last week because we just had like after premiere party or whatever. And he's basically kind of running it through like the gauntlet of festivals and stuff. I know he's trying to get it through the Black Film Festival, Sundance, South by Southwest, a few other places that he's going to just try to submit it for. Get it recognized, get it, you know, get some awards, all that stuff. And then I will get a copy, and then, you know, maybe I'll try to do like my own, like maybe a secondary premiere, or maybe just like, it's going to be out there on YouTube or somewhere.
You got to get into the barbershops, bro.
Yeah,
you
right.
Take advantage of the built-in network you got. You got to get into the barbershops.
Well, see that. Well, that's the thing is like after talking to my mom, because, you know, not to get too deep into this, but you know, I took my mother and father to the premiere and stuff, and a lot of the topics that were brought up into the premiere really hit home for both of them, actually, just being immigrants and some of the same mentalities that were in some of the messages that were in the movie. So I know showing it to a good majority of the Nigerian community would be huge for them. You know, I know, like you said, of the Black barbershops, have like, well, just everybody, because I think everybody can take away something from this movie. And that's what drew me to the project in the first place. So, yeah, as soon as I get a copy of it, I will let as many people who have been asked to come and see it, because I think it's a really, really, really special thing.
Yeah, man, put me on that list, too. I need my copy. Well, all right. Well, I guess, like we said, you know, the draft is starting to wind down. And we're hitting a bit of, I guess, a lull in the calendar, but not really. I mean, Saxy Prince, you know, I mean, there was kind of a big deal that happened this weekend. We got a little bit of rookie mini camp action. Have you been able to talk to our favorite member of the Vikings rookie class and gotten any insight into how things are going with Kunle in camp?
Yeah, no, he just got back today. I actually stopped by his room a little bit over an hour ago. And I just kind of talked to him how he felt about the process. He said, One of the things that he really did touch on that he felt really good about is that the Vikings do a really, really good job giving opportunities to local talent, which is really different than a lot of other, you know, rookie camps or just camps in general around the league. And that's something that he appreciated because, you know, not everything was in his favor, you know, throughout college and then, you know, afterward he has pro day and stuff. And like, he definitely would want to have done things better to give himself more, you know, hype and just attract more teams and stuff. But he also understands that, you know, it is a business and it is very cutthroat. But, you know, one thing that he really did feel like is like, hey, I can hang with like a lot of these guys. You know, he chatted up Mike Hughes quite a bit. He was roommates with Holton Hill, so he got to pick his brain quite a bit. Spent a lot of time with Mike Prefer and Jerry Gray, obviously the DB coach. He got to pick their brain. They really gave him some positive feedback. They really liked him. You know, unfortunately, he's not signed just yet. I did say yet because I still feel like, you know, through the pipelines and stuff. But, you know, it's really a waiting game right now. He really felt like he didn't do anything to hurt his chances. He really felt like he really helped himself quite a bit. He had a pick on Friday. He got more reps on Saturday just because another safety got injured. So, you know, he was really put through. He really tried to do the best, you know, to help himself, help his stock and whatnot. And, it was funny that there was actually one of the assistants texted him today to be like, hey, I want you to clean this up and this up and just go review film from, you know, this specific play. Cause he thought that he was signed already. Which I think is a really good thing to have that kind of connection and stuff. So, yeah, just getting some insight for him and just understanding the process because I'm not going through it, but it's really cool to actually be able to see someone else who's going through it that I know that I can sit down and talk to. So, yeah, it's been exciting, and I don't feel like this is the end of the journey just yet.
And that's awesome. Well, obviously, you know, let the man know that we are all cheering for him. And if he really wants those DB tips, you know, how to lock folks down, tell him to holler at Miles Gorham. Miles can hook him up, help him out, let him know how it's really supposed to be done. Right, Miles?
Yeah, I mean, if he gets a training camp and wants to, you know, lock down Adam Thielen, he can just call me for some tips.
Yeah, holler at the man. Holler at the man. Well, couple of things to talk about, and I feel like this one we've talked about it before, but it's back on the timeline again because I don't know, we're bored and the draft is done and we got to have something to argue about. But people have been kind of going through this exercise again, and you know, there's an argument kind of ongoing right now in real time as I'm asking you guys this question. But you know, the last, I guess, of the big three young guys that folks are talking about as priorities for the Vikings, you got Stephon Diggs, you got Anthony Barr, you got Danielle Hunter. For whatever reason, Trey Waynes never makes the list, but you know, he's there too. And we're talking about, you know, which one of these guys is, you know, the priority, which one of these guys not is the priority, which one of these guys should be the priority as we, you know, kind of discuss the Vikings and them moving forward and what they should do to maximize their team's opportunities while we're in the Super Bowl window. And so I'm gonna start with you guys. I feel like I know where you guys are gonna come in on this, but I'm interested in the arguments, I guess, you guys bring to the table, because you typically look at things from different perspectives. So, Miles, I'll start with you. As you look at the unsigned kind of young core players for the Vikings, take us from, I guess, you're the number one on down in kind of, you know, order of importance and break down for us kind of why you're putting them in the order that you are.
Yeah, I'll start with Trey Waynes just because I'm not going to include him on this list just for the fact that they did pick up his fifth-year option. So, to me, that means he's the last priority on the list just because they have an extra year with him, you know, with guys like Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, and Anthony Barr that you mentioned. Those guys are all free agents after this season, so it makes it a little bit different of a priority in terms of the where your priorities are. So that's why I won't include him here, just because he will be, at least, you know, unless, you know, something unforeseen changes, he'll be on the team in 2019. So yeah, for me, I'm gonna go. I'll start at three. I'm going to go Anthony Barr, the outside linebacker, edge rusher. My biggest reason to have him at number three is just for the fact that, to me, to be completely honest, I don't think they completely utilize his full skill set, and I don't think they're using him in the way that maybe they anticipated he would become. not that he's not a really good player, because I really like Anthony Barr, but I think in terms of his skill set, I think he's best. He should be best used as a pass rusher, and a lot of times they're moving him around, putting and making him run in space with. And not that he's not athletic either, but they make him run in space with linebackers and slot receivers and tight ends, which again he can do some of those things, but I think he struggles a bit in coverage, where I think some of his best skills is going after the quarterback, because he's got really good pass rush moves, and that's what he was used at UCLA. So I was kind of hoping that they would do a little bit more of those situations with him, where they would let him get after the quarterback. So for me, I feel like in terms of all the pieces, they already got Eric Kendricks back, so you have a linebacker in place that they chose, at least in terms of priorities. It seems like Eric Kendricks is one of the top ones, just because they got him done pretty early and they paid him a pretty good chunk of money. And then going down, I'm going to go to Danielle Hunter. I think, you know, you can never have enough, you know, really good pass rushers. I think one thing that's holding him back a little bit is, for his sake, at least in terms of contract wise, I think I guess you could talk about the total sacks in his first full season as a starter. I don't think that's a big deal personally. I think he's going to only get better with age and with opportunity, but I think that's just going to, you know, be the Vikings' case in terms of their negotiating skills, is kind of use that as a crutch against him. But I love Danielle Hunter. He's still only, what, I think 23 or 24 years old. I think that's it's hard to find really talented edge rushers like he is at his age, and they've been paying him pennies for his first 3 years of his career just because he was a third-round pick. And then, because for me, with Danielle Hunter, I think if you're looking long-term, you do have an option to move on from a guy like Everson Griffin in the next year or two based off his contract. And if we're talking long term, I'm taking Danielle Hunter over Everson Griffin. If you make me choose after, let's say, the 2018 or the 2019 season, I'm taking Danielle Hunter all day. He's not at that level yet, but I think obviously his growth potential is a lot higher than what Everson Griffin's is now, because he's kind of hit his peak. And then my number one choice to me that I think needs to get locked up and locked up ASAP is Stephon Diggs. I think we've seen this team go through wide receiver purgatory for so many years, struggle drafting and signing wide receivers. The Vikings found their best two wide receivers in the fifth round, and as an undrafted free agent in Adam Thielen. So I think they've really struggled with hitting on those wide receivers, and how important they are to have two, three, four good wide receivers. The Vikings have, you know, probably arguably the best duo in the league, but why would you want to? You just paid your quarterback $84 million, and you have this young up and coming star in the making in Stephon Diggs, who's still only 24 years old. Why would you want to lose him if you had to pick between him or like a guy like Anthony Barr, when you have already so many key defensive players in place? Why would you want to get rid of a key offensive important player like a Stephon Diggs? I just don't think that's the right move. I think in terms of ceiling and upside, in terms of longevity, Stephon Diggs is more valuable in my opinion than Adam Thielen is. So it kind of comes down to that similar thing with Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. I think Adam Thielen has a little bit longer to go in terms of his till he plateaus, but I think in terms of long-term stability and long-term upside and ceiling, I think Stephon Diggs is a superior player. And I think in terms of overall production, I think once Stephon Diggs hits a 16-game, you know, season, I think he's going to have 1,000 yards and, you know, 8-plus touchdowns and all that. I think he's a do-it-all type of wide receiver. And not that it's – and this, to me, I think people feel it's like – It's an either or with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, which I think is I have a hard time like understanding. Like, why does it always have to be an either or? Because for me, Adam Thielen signed his and it doesn't need to be about Adam Thielen's contract to sign Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen signed his contract last offseason. He signed it knowing what the number is, knowing what his potential was going to be in terms of long term
like heading into the 2017 season, he knew that he could hit 1,000 yards. Like he almost had 1,000 yards in 2016. So I don't think he went into 2017 thinking, oh, I think this is probably the best I'm going to do. There's no way. He signed that 3-year deal. He knew what he was doing. He knew that there was this opportunity here for him to get paid, but he probably wasn't going to get paid more than what he already got offered. So I'm struggling just to the fact that like this idea that it has to be, if they sign Stephon Diggs to a long-term extension, that means that they have to do something with Adam Thielen too, which I don't agree with at all. But so my total list would be Anthony Barr, Danielle Hunter, and then Stephon Diggs as my number one priority.
Okay. All right. Stephon Diggs at number one. It's a wide receiver and it's Miles, so that's not very surprising. Prince, what's your list look like? Is it the same as Miles's? And, you know, Miles is just, you know, obviously like Miles usually is just right. Or is it, you know, Miles favoring the wide receivers like he always does?
See, I thought Miles's list was going to be different. So originally was going to be disagreeing with him. But my list is actually exactly how his list is. As far as Anthony Barr, I know how important he is to the Mike Zimmer scheme, but I think, you know, I think that that's somebody that when you look at the replaceability of the other two components, I think that you could replace Anthony Barr. That doesn't mean to say that it's going to be easy, but I think it's way easier to replace that compared to a young pass rusher and, you know, a wide receiver of Stephon Diggs' caliber. Now, originally, I think we did a pod a couple weeks ago, and I did say, you know, Danielle Hunter would probably be at the top. But obviously, through just doing some digging, Jason, you laid out some facts and stuff. And just general, just like going back and watching tape and stuff. This isn't necessarily a dig, pun intended. But I think part of the reason why I put Stephon Diggs at number one actually has less to do with Stephon Diggs' play, and it actually has to do with what Miles had said. You just brought in, you know, this guy to be your franchise quarterback. Kirk Cousins is now the key to the Vikings' success. We know that. We know that moving forward. If he doesn't do well, the team isn't going to be able to get back to the playoffs and beyond. And we have seen Kirk Cousins not be able to play at the level Kirk Cousins can play at when he doesn't have those weapons around him that really help elevate his play. And the fact that he's walking into a situation with arguably the top wide receiver duo in the league, both top 12 guys, it's a fantastic thing for any quarterback, you know. That's something that every quarterback kind of begs to have happen. So, you know, Stephon Diggs being as as young as he is, as well as, you know, his flexibility, being able to be in the slot on the outside, you know, you can do gimmicky plays. You really can just move them all across the line and just be a mismatch. As much as Danielle Hunter is a young pass rusher, you have to lock him up. Everson Griffin insurance. Stephon Diggs, I think, is so key to where this team is moving towards. This team is making that shift kind of away from being this elite caliber defense, having top picks at every position, to, okay, now we need to invest in the offense because we have to make sure Kirk Cousins succeeds. And I think it's great to have Adam Thielen because that only bolsters Kirk Cousins' play and his confidence in what the offense can do. But then why not have another guy at that position that can do that exact same way? It's really hard to find top 10 wide receivers. I think potentially Stephon Diggs in the next couple of years could really push himself into that top 5 conversation. I think Adam Thielen is at or very, very near his ceiling. And I think we still have yet to see Stephon Diggs' true ceiling, which is scary to think about, but also very, very good. And that's why I put him at number one. I think that you have to lock him up. You have your top 2 wide receivers going into the league or going into the season and beyond, and, you know, every other piece around that, you know, it's just a compliment to what the offense can do. You know, you get yourself another explosive tight end, or Dalvin Cook comes back, or you know, those are just added pieces to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen taking a lion's share of offensive targets and snaps. So I think you have to, he has to become your priority. He's proven that he is a threat. So yeah.
Well, okay. And I obviously agree with both of you because, like you alluded to, Yinka, when I went and ran the numbers, and as Yinka makes his point, his internet drops off and we lose him. Hopefully he'll be back shortly. But as Yinka was saying right there, when I ran the numbers, wide receiver was the second most important position on the offense. And I'm sure, you know, Miles, he's been telling people that for years. But the numbers align with what all the, you know, the quote diva wide receivers have been saying for all these years. And it makes sense. If the quarterback is the most important position on the field, in large part because the quarterback throws the ball, the people that the quarterback throws the ball to the most often are also pretty important. And right now, I mean, Kirk Cousins, he's our guy, locked in, guaranteed deal. Like Inka said, we need him to succeed. We need him to win. And his best years came when he had Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson. He had Jordan Reed. We don't have one of those. So we're going to need to get it all from the wide receivers and then maybe rely on our tight ends when we get to the red zone. But yeah.
We have Tyler Conklin now.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Even the people who love him, as I've been going back and like listening to podcasts where people talk about him and stuff, even his staunchest supporters talk about him in very similar terms that they talk about our man Kyle Rudolph.
Oh yeah, he's a red zone guy.
Which is he can't separate. He isn't very fast. Doesn't run great routes, but he can go up and get it for you in the red zone. So, I mean, hey, you gotta draft those replacements a year ahead of sometimes, I guess. So maybe going on here.
And that's part of it. Like this idea that the entire roster is gonna stay in place with adding guys like and then extending Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, Anthony Barr, like they're gonna lose some guys down the road. Like some of these guys that are hitting the tail end of their prime, like a Kyle Rudolph, for example, who's due $7 million next year. Latavius Murray, I know he took a pay cut, but like his contract comes off the books this year. Like you have guys whose contracts are gonna come off the books that you can replace and throw, so you can put like Kyle Rudolph $7 million. You could put some of that $7 million toward a Stephon Diggs for next year, like stuff like that. Like there's different ways. You're not literally going to keep the exact same roster forever. So some of these, I guess you could call them core players, are going to be gone. So I would rather keep the young up and coming players than the old, probably over the hill players like a Kyle Rudolph, like a potentially in the next couple of years, Everson Griffin, stuff like that. So I don't know. People are crazy to me.
Yeah, one of the things I also think is kind of funny, and you can see it a lot, you know, with Twitter and the way people kind of talk about things on Twitter, is that what fans in general, I think about how sports are played, it lags a few years, if not more, behind, I think, what's actually happening on the field, right? Like, we all, and I think we're probably guilty of it too, the way we talk about things sometimes, like we all still kind of think about it like, you know, that movie The Blind Side, where they talk about, you know, the left tackle and, you know, Lawrence Taylor and how important those guys are to your team. And, you know, that's the football we grew up on. That's the kind of, you know, burned into your brain, the Norv Turner style, Dallas Cowboys, all that stuff. But we also know, like, when they talk about the draft and like, oh, these guys don't play under center, like 70% of the snaps in the NFL now are played from shotgun, but we still have guys getting dinged in the draft process because they don't play under center enough when they're not really going to be playing under center when they get to the NFL anyway. And we still think of, you know, pass rushers being super important because of the days where quarterbacks were taking 7-step drops all the time when we take the balls out in less than 3 seconds on pretty much every play now in the NFL. Which makes coverage more important than pass rusher because it's tough to get home that quick. So it's interesting as kind of the sports evolve and we just seem to catch up kind of slow to what's actually happening on the field, even though we're all aware of what's happening on the field and talk about it on a semi-regular basis. But as we talk to, and we're going to make a really clunky, awful transition away from arguing about players that we all hope will be back on the team and ranking them arbitrarily for no reason that really makes any sense whatsoever, we're going to move on to something equally as unimportant, which is fantasy football. And, you know, Miles, we were on the clock when we started here, but the draft ended. And you know, one of the things that happens in the draft is, you know, players end up places. And then we get to talk about how we feel about where those players ended up. So, you know, draft shook out, made it through all the rounds, undrafted free agency. And Miles, I'm going to start with you since, you know, you are the person who should be picking right now. And after the draft is over, which rookie landing spots do you like the most for fantasy? Which guys are going to be helping you repeat as champion in your fantasy leagues this year?
I actually did make my pick, so whenever you want to apologize, I'm good. So, but
okay, my bad. My bad, Miles. About time, but my bad, man.
Well, so like you look at the board and you look at a lot of the rookies, and you know, obviously you want to find some guys that are going to contribute year one. One guy that I really like that I'm really mad that I didn't get a chance to draft in the second round of our draft. He got sniped the pick right before mine. Michael Gallup for the Dallas Cowboys. I think he goes into a perfect situation with a young QB and Dak Prescott. They don't really have much depth or talent, or at least proven talent, at tight end anymore with Jason Witten retiring. They cut and released Dez Bryant. They traded Ryan Switzer. So all they pretty much have at this point is Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, and then they ended up picking up Allen Hurns, who was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there isn't a lot of talented competition for Michael Gallup as a rookie to come in and contribute right away. And I think Gallup fits that perfect role of an X type receiver on the ball. So I think he's going to come in and make an impact right away. I wouldn't put him on the Michael Thomas level as a rookie, but I think he could come in and be their most talented and their most productive wide receiver this season. So that'd probably be my number one pick in terms of early success, besides the obvious in the Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis, you know, some of those guys, I think those guys are going to, you know, be home runs. But I think a guy like Michael Gallup would be a really good one to keep an eye on if you're looking in a redraft league and you're looking to fill a, you know, I like to draft sometimes for potential guys for my bench spot. So I think Michael Gallup's definitely one of those names to keep an eye on.
If only we could get the Cowboys to maybe run an offense that's suited to the NFL in this century, Michael Gallup might actually get some passes thrown this way. So where the Cowboys, I think they ran like the fewest number of like offensive plays because they just want to grind out the game and all that stuff. Also, why do the Cowboys hate Dak? Like, where are all his weapons? Like, you were listing those Cowboys wide receivers, Miles, and it was kind of sad. Allen Hurns? Terrence Williams?
Yeah, but they got an offensive line, Jason.
Oh, do they?
Is it even
still that good?
It's actually pretty good, but
okay.
But that's fine. But no, I'm really surprised that they haven't done more to fully invest in Dak Prescott, because that's like what we've always talked about is Dak Prescott is making pennies. Like, that man is not – he's making fourth round money right now. How are you not – and there goes Teddy. He's upset about it too. How are you not investing more in your in skill position players for your young quarterback to make him better, to make sure that you know what you have in him moving forward too? Because probably after this season, you know, depending on what their plan is with him, and for my opinion, he should be their long-term quarterback, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. So the idea that you're not going to invest playmakers around him is just, I don't know, not a sound strategy.
Agreed. And yeah, it's weird, but those wide receivers and weapons for your quarterback seem to be a little bit more important than the guys blocking for him. Who would have thunk? Saxy Prince, how about you? You've been having a quietly strong draft yet again. Runner-up in our Dynasty League last year, looking to finally get the pieces to put his team over the top this year. What rookies after the draft, you know, have you most excited? Are you looking to pick up on all of your teams as you go through into the season for fantasy football?
Well, I mean, I was originally going to say Mike Gesicki, because he went over to the Dolphins and they really needed tight end help over there. I think Charles Clay, correct? He was the tight end. He's been the tight end there for quite a bit of time, but
that feels incorrect, sir. Charles Clay is in Buffalo.
So I'm sorry. I'm messing up right now.
I actually have no idea who the tight end was in Miami, if I'm being 100% honest.
Okay. Okay. Well, then there you go.
I just know that Charles Clay is in Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, then there you go. The fact that they have been missing a tight end presence for quite a bit of time. Only concern, obviously, is, you know, who's going to play quarterback there and who's going to be tossing those passes to Mike Gesicki. But I'm actually fairly confident in, you know, even if they don't have the greatest quarterback that's tossing passes, I think Mike Gesicki is going to get a lion's share of targets there. Not really very many weapons. The other guy that I had was, sorry, I had him just in my head right now. Dante Pettis going to San Francisco. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is actually going to target him quite early. I think he joins a fairly middle of the road wide receiver core. Not really any special names that are there right now. And I think he can go in there at least, you know, slide right into that wide receiver one, you know, potentially be, or wide receiver two, be a potential wide receiver one. And obviously Jimmy Garoppolo has shown to be a little bit higher as far as what we thought he might be going to San Francisco. So those are some like really early names. So I'm probably going to be targeting them if I find myself in another league and whatnot. But yeah, there are other guys that you could like. I mean, obviously Sony Michel going to New England. You know how New England likes to use their running backs, even if they're kind of like switching in and out. But I think he'll probably get some targets from Tom Brady. You have Bayshon Hamilton, as Miles like to say, going to Denver. So I like, yeah, obviously he joins, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Demarius, his name is escaping my mind right now. Thomas. But you know, both of those guys are getting a little bit older. So, you know, you have a guy who's coming in a little bit younger. I know that right now Case Keenum is going to be that guy, but you know, maybe Hamilton gets lucky with that Case Keenum magic that seemed to be here in Minnesota that was so very lucky. So I think those are some, I tried to say that as seriously as I could. So.
I could hear the smile creeping onto your face as you were saying that. The longer that one strung along, you were fighting it in the beginning, but as time kept moving along there, that little smile started to, I could hear the smirk in your voice as you kept going through there talking about your man Case Keenum.
Yeah, you know, I have to give him credit where credit is due. I mean, he did play well last season. And you know, maybe going to Denver, he'll find that same magic that he had here and he becomes a top 10 quarterback again. But yeah, I'm excited for that wide receiver core, cause I think that they will have, you know, three really good wide receivers there. Naeem Hines.
You just completely just jumped right over the fact that Courtland Sutton's there too, man. I mean, he can't get no love. You forgot all about the man.
You're so fixated on
Miles's guy. You forgot all about the dude that you were picking for the Cowboys in the first round.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is that Case Keenum, we've already seen, doesn't really have a huge affinity with wide receivers who can't run routes. So, you know, I originally had him there as a Dez Bryant replacement, but we'll see how he does and over there. So,
all right. All right. Yeah, that's it. I feel like we covered enough of the stuff that we need to. But also, all y'all out there, please stop throwing shade at Stephon Diggs. Stop undervaluing wide receivers. Over the last two seasons for the Minnesota Vikings, I think if anything is proof of concept that wide receivers are really, really important for quarterback performance, it's the team that we all follow. Because Sam Bradford was pretty average before he got to play with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And then, wow, he had his best season ever. And then Case Keenum, career backup, gets to play with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Oh my goodness, he's making a bunch of money. Starter for the Denver Broncos. Wide receivers matter a lot. Pay that man his money. Pay Danielle Hunter his money too. Anthony Barr should probably get his money. Pay all them men their monies. And exactly. That's the show. That's all we got. We will be back later on this week to talk to y'all again. But holler at JR when you see him. Tell him that we missed him. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.